Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station. Phone lines here are 605-4567 and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Carl Linda Bott, Linda's on assignment. It's Tuesday, today the 3rd of August, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. Jared is here. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
My younger family member here. It's starting to feel like that about you. It's been long enough now that I think of you like that. And then you know what? And I talk to you like that too. I know you're probably tired of it, huh?
No, it's fine. I've gotten to the point where I feel like I can talk back to you without getting in trouble.
Oh, no. You know, I'm pretty approachable there. Hey, what's weather today?
It's currently 65 degrees. Today we're going to see a high of 103 with a low of 65. Tomorrow, a high of 103 with a low of 62. On Thursday, a nice high of 94, a low of 63. Yay. And on Friday, a high of 100 with a low of 67.
Okay, the weather report's brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a veteran-based business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They're so much more, though, than that. They've helped people during the car fire. They've helped so many 501s. He was just Chuck Kinney, good friend, helicopter pilot in Vietnam. And Chuck and Judy have done a lot for this community. Things that are usually go unsaid because that's just the way they are. Give them a call at 365-3793. It's not the propane. The propane comes out of the same tank. It's the customer service. And I have no problem at all in recommending, no reservations, but recommending Shasta Gas Propane. And Nick, who has a show on our station, Poke the Hornet's Nest, just coming by and knocking on the window. What else? Oh, fires. What do you got there, buddy? I've got a whole bunch of stuff. If you don't have the late, this is not necessarily the latest. This has just been from Monday.
I'm pulling this up right now.
What I have here is this. There's a new fire. The 300-acre antelope fires forced the evacuation of Antelope Creek and Tennant. Siskiyou County Sheriff's officials announced Monday the fires burning in the eastern part of the county remains very active, according to wildfire officials. So that's up near... I'm frankly getting tired of saying, wow, that's near some friends' homes. And... there's another fires, our friends live up there in Trinity County. Our friends live here in town and their homes get burnt down. Frankly, I'm tired of it. Kevin Kiley, who is candidate for governor, is going to be on at 7:30. And one of the questions, first question I'm going to ask him is this. What is your plan on mitigating the wildfire problem we have here in this state? Now, I think people have, you know, we can't just get, another fire. What's your latest update?
The Dixie Fire is 253,000 acres and 35% contained, so it seems like it grew.
I think it was like 5,000 acres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bootleg Fire hasn't really grown at all, and it's 413,000 acres, 84% containment.
Okay. McFarland Fire prompted the closure of Highway 36 from White Rock Road in Shasta County to the junction of Highway 3 in Trinity County. Oh, so that's going for us. And it also forced the evacuation of Wildwood.
It's actually called the Monument Fire. That was the Panther Fire. They, for some reason, they renamed it to the Monument Fire.
Okay, yeah, because the Monument Fire is grown to
4,200.
Yeah, that's 0% containment. And it's in the footprint of the 2008 Cedar Fire. How, yeah. This is getting, this has gotten to the point where everybody knows we've got to do something about this, but yet, and this is the feds along with the state. What have they done? What are the, what, you know, everybody talks about it. You know, how much fire mitigation? Maybe there's a lot going on that we just don't know about, but they, we've gotten to the point where, people just expect Northern California and parts of Southern California just to burn every year. We're going to have a guest on the 13th. I think it's the 16th of August. It's a Monday, whatever that is. And a good friend of mine. He's been a good friend since 1997 when we first met. And he's from England, American now, is moving. And he's moving from a ranch in San Diego. And we're going to talk about that. Why are you moving? His explanation we talked yesterday was so clear and concise. So I think that's going to be an interesting segment on the show. Like I said, we have Kevin Kiley on this morning, and then we have Dr. Doug Craig, and he and I are going to discuss climate change with all the fires going on. Okay. I can't say that it's not getting a little warmer here, but then the ramifications of climate change also. Are you watching the Olympics?
I am not. I'm not a huge Summer Olympics fan. I'm more of a Winter Olympics
really,
fan.
Really? I could care less about the Winter Olympics. of course, you know. Well, that's not true.
It's got so many weird events in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. This year, I've seen more shooting events than I've ever seen in the past. And, of course, maybe part of it has to be is because Americans have done so well, winning the men and women's trap championships, and then an American winning the gold and the skeet finals. You'd shoot 50 times. He hit 49 of the targets. He is a three-time Olympic champion, which I had no idea. But the one I saw a race last night, my friends. It was if you have not watched it, go to YouTube. Go to a channel where you can see it. I mean, you know. And this race was the 400-meter hurdles. Two guys running in it, and the first guy, Warholm, is from Norway. Set the world's record for the 400 hurdles. It was like 46.79. All right, 46.79, a world's record. And world records are measured, you know, it takes years. They shave off a hundredth here, a tenth there, like this. I mean, that's how they drop. They don't drop big. And then there was an American by the name of Rye Benjamin, who's the best that we had in the United States. So last night I watched it, and the 400-meter hurdles was won by this Norwegian Warnholm. He broke the 46-second barrier, which people thought was going to take another decade to happen. He broke it, and he broke his own world's record by close to a second. Close, not quite. But here's the other thing. Rye Benjamin pushed him the whole way, and Rye Benjamin set a new world's record also. It was just that Warhol beat him by like a yard. So you had two world records, and then the guy finishing third tied the world's record, the old world's record. Can you imagine how fast it was? The commentators, you know, track guys, track and field guys, you should just heard them. They said this has never happened. A race like this has never happened. Rye Benjamin set a world's record in the 400-meter hurdles and lost to a guy who set it who broke the 46-second barrier. I know track doesn't really excite me, but when you see performance, you see two men, and really in the third, running that hard. And Warholm said, I didn't feel my legs in the last 20 meters. The only thing I knew, there was a crazy American trying to pass me. And when Benjamin crossed the line, he looks up and he goes, nah, that can't be right. It was a magnificent race. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. You know, when you see the very best that's ever been done for the first time, I don't know how that cannot excite you just a little bit. Even if you're not interested in seeing the very best, the fastest that's ever been run, ever, by two guys, and almost a third, you have to ask yourself, how can you not be excited by that? Anyway, so Benjamin gets the silver medal. Hey, guess what? Ray, you just did everything a person could do to win. And the fact that this one time this guy was ahead of you by, you know, a yard. And that was about the difference. So we got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank has been helping people move their dreams forward since the day they opened. Community-owned, locally owned, local board of directors, all of that. They've got three branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, one at 1845 California Street in the heart of downtown Reading, and, of course, the main branch at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Cobblestone Shopping Center, and are opening up an Anderson branch here in the near future. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. 7:16 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was the queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low, and the secrets that we shared. Mountains that we move, caught like a wildfire out of control, till there was nothing left to burn and nothing left to prove. And I remember what she said to me.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300 A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. 7:21 in the morning here, about 70 degrees, going up to 103 today, not so bad. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. I want to design a piece of jewelry, something special for yourself or a loved one. Go on down, talk to Rebecca and Henry. They can help you with that. Then they can build it afterwards. That and so many things. You got your watch not working? Pop on in there. 5 minutes later, you walk out with a new battery. Or they've got the only they have the only watch repairman up here in Northern California. He can take that watch apart, fix it, and give it back to you. All of this is at Four Winds Jewelry. One last thing on the Olympics. Well, there's probably a couple other things too, but Simone Biles came back, won the bronze. She is now, she has more medals, Jared, than anybody. Jared's back there talking to Ashley, and Ashley is in today. I have no control of what's going on in the control room. Did you say that Biles tied, the Olympic record for the most medals won by an American? So she's back. Linda talked about her yesterday when she called it the twisties, that she was unclear where her feet were in the air. Her inner gyroscope, this is what I would call it, was off. And so she couldn't do the maneuvers. But she said, after taking a week off from this, that, okay, I think I can compete again. So she becomes the third best in the world and ties the record for most medals held by an American in gymnastics. Lindsey Graham has got COVID. And for all you people that say he deserves it, of course, you're idiots. But Lindsey Graham's been vaccinated, and he's gotten COVID. We know... A couple up the street had COVID already, just got it again. Graham says he'll isolate for 10 days. I guess that COVID vaccination, perhaps like any other flu shot, that it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. It just lessens the impact. Does it keep you from passing it on to other people? Obviously not, because now we're told that we have to wear masks. I'm not sure the criteria of what's going on. Is this something that President Biden needs just to come out and say, or read what's put in front of him that says, you know what, COVID's not going away. We've got to learn to live with it. Just like the flu. You get vaccinated to help prevent you getting a bad case of it, or but there's nothing that's going to stop it. We've got to learn to live with it. Do we wear masks all the time, or do we just accept the fact that it's here? It kills people, yes, but it kills a very, very, very small percentage. And let me tell you, you know, when you get over the age of, what they say, 60, you got to start watching out. Okay, I'll start watching out, but I am not going, this is just Carl Bott speaking. I can't live my life in fear. No, you can't do that. You can't stop living life. You can't keep kids masked all the time. You know, companies are saying, we want you to vaccinate or you can't work here. Private companies have a right to say that. But now it's getting to the fact, if the government says everybody will be vaxxed, or there, you know, there lies the problem. But if you just say, you know, we're not going to stop this. Just when you think everything's dropped, then they've all picked up again. Oh, it's because they're not vaccinated. Really? How come then we're allowing so many people across the border? And we're talking like new records of 100-something thousand coming across the border and stopping 200,000, and they're not being COVID tested. Finally, the CDC says, okay, you can't let people cross who's got, you know, who has COVID. Well, how long is it taking them to say that? And then how do you test them? Do you put them in huge holding facilities? Terry, good morning.
Man, you were spot on, because...
I'm just tired of this shit.
Well, I know, you're right.
Hit it.
Be careful, they're going to hit the button on you.
I hope they did. Okay.
I know.
Okay, they hit the button. I cannot believe I just said that after 11 years.
It's okay.
11 years, I finally said... I finally cursed on the radio.
It's okay.
Okay. Calm me down.
Jeez.
Walk me off the ledge.
It's fine, but you're right. I mean, you get a vaccine, you have to get one. If Lindsey Graham gets one, he gets COVID anyway. You wear a mask. We all know that the mask doesn't protect you against the virus, because the virus is what? You can put 1,000 of these things on a head of a needle. It goes through the mask. That doesn't protect you. And, oh, by the way, COVID mutates like the common cold, which means you'd have to get vaccinated every other week if you were going to even prevent something. But the vaccines don't prevent anything. So why are we vaccinating? Why are we masking? Why is all this going on other than control? I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's just, how dumb are we going to be as a society? So the real deal is that yeah, you're spot on. Absolutely right. It's absurd. We have to learn to live with it. You're absolutely right. Wash your hands. Our friend Dr. Danuka, wash your hands. And he's right about that.
Well, you know, we had Casey Fatch on from Shasta Regional, and then the guy that runs the Fall River Clinic up there. No cases of flu this year.
No.
And why is that? It's because we were washing hands, we were distancing. Had nothing to do with vaccinations. But we just I think there's got to be something that says, you know what, guys? Or you know what, people? It's just going to be here. We've got to learn to move through it.
And
we can't shut down our economy. The
vaccine's going, you have a better survival rate with getting COVID than you do getting the vaccine.
Well, I'm not sure.
6% of the people are having an adverse reaction. Many are dying from the vaccine. It isn't even really a vaccine, as you just...
Well, no, I didn't say that.
I mean, this whole thing is crazy, folks.
No, I didn't say that, Terry.
And if you're driving a car by yourself, wearing a mask probably doesn't help your breathing any.
Hey, Terry, I did not say the vaccine didn't work. What I said was...
But
that's
work.
What you said I said, and that's not what I said. Oh. And what I said was, it's like you take a vaccine. One, you can still get it. Two, you can still spread it. So the vaccine... It was not what it was touted to be, which is another problem people have with this whole thing. It's the change, the constant change.
Right. You can't vaccinate against that. That's the whole point. You can't vaccinate a mutating virus. That's why we don't have a vaccination for the common cold, number one. But, hey, vaccines do work. Polio worked.
Smallpox.
Vaccines do work.
Smallpox, diphtheria.
It doesn't work, obviously.
Whooping cough.
People are getting it still.
Anyway, well, I wonder if it's just you, Terry, that I finally broke the profanity barrier. So.
Well, you just felt comfortable. You felt that you could let it roll, buddy. That's it.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
Sure.
Okay. Hey, did you catch it?
I think I did, but someone in the chat room was like, "Oh, you missed it," and I was like,
"Okay,
it's for the radio, not the stream."
Yeah, it's streaming; it'll go right to you. But we have the 7 second. By the way, the 7 second delay we found had been turned off. How long it's been turned off, I don't know. We got it turned on again today, or turned on yesterday. So
that explains these new notes on the.
Yeah, that explains
here.
It about checking on the delete buttons. All you producers, you've got to make sure that light's on.
The red delay active light must be on.
If it's not, you need to get it turned on. All right. So, sorry about that, chat room, but it didn't go out over the air. You know, everything comes directly to the chat room. There is no delete button on that. So, you know what? Kevin Colley's going to be calling us in a couple minutes. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Hey, you know what? If you're looking for, I was just there 2 days ago. If you're looking for a great car wash at a very reasonable price, go to Quick and Clean Car Wash. People wipe your car off afterwards. There's no spots or anything. Wax, the whole enchilada, as they say. It's located at Market and Eureka Street right next to Dutch Bros. You can buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. All of this is at Quick and Clean Car Wash. 7:31 in the morning and... 70, gosh, what is it now? I'm sorry, it's only still 69 degrees, going up to about 103 today. We'll be right back.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Radiant Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate healthcare. Radiant Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how healthcare is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Our summer tribute series will keep you cool all summer long with live music inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. From rock and roll classics to soul to today's pop charts.
Amarillo, I'll be there.
Tickets just $18 plus fees. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club, WindRiver.com, or through our Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. All Wind River safety protocols must be followed.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. Join me and my friends every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. with the California Adventure District Radio Show, where we talk about all the amazing adventures to be had in our area, from climbing Mount Shasta, hiking the trails, kayaking, overlanding, and camping with Bigfoot. We have it all. California Adventure District. Less people, more adventure. Listen Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot here on the station. And on the line, we have Kevin Kiley, candidate for governor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, you know what? You've been on the show before. I don't know. You know, you probably see so many thousand interviews, but we've had you on the show before. And we're happy to see that you've thrown your hat in the ring. Tell us a little bit about Kevin Kiley first.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been a member of the state, and it's great to be back, I should say. I've been a member of the state legislature for about 5 years now and have been fighting against the corruption and the supermajority at our state capitol all that time. And in particular, these last 16 months have been fighting Gavin Newsom's one-man rule in every way I can, taking him to court along with James Gallagher in a lawsuit, introducing resolutions to terminate the state of emergency, trying to get the legislature to rein him in. But, you know, I when I ran for the assembly in 2016, that was my first foray into politics. I was an outsider. I had worked as a high school teacher in the inner city. I had defended the Constitution in our courts. I was a prosecutor, you know, prosecuting cases against violent felons. You know, I have seen the failures of our government in all of their dimensions. And so I got involved in politics, and I ran for office to try to get our state turned around and to try to reverse California's decline. And I have, you know, embraced this recall as the greatest citizens movement in California history and as our chance to do just that, to get California on the right track.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a number of questions here. And the biggest one is, of course, the wildfires that continually ravage California, especially up here in Northern California. I talked a little bit about it at the beginning of the show. I mean, they're burning in the footprints of other fires that have also destroyed so much property, so you know, taken lives and everything. Do you have a plan on how to address the wildfire situation in California?
Yeah, absolutely. And my plan is to actually do the sort of, you know, mitigation and prevention work that Gavin Newsom has falsely claimed to have done, but hasn't actually done. You know, there was a report from NPR that showed an investigation that showed that Gavin Newsom has exaggerated the amount of fire mitigation work by 690%. So not by a little bit. By almost seven times as much, he said he's done that more than has actually been done. And, you know, the state has not prioritized, you know, fire prevention and forest management in any meaningful way in recent years, even in the wake of these devastating wildfires. You know, folks like James Gallagher have fought tooth and nail to try to make this more of a state priority, and yet it never has become one. And, in fact, the state interferes in a lot of ways with our ability to properly manage forests by, you know, having a lot of these crazy regulations that are supposedly there in the name of the environment. You know, fires are pretty bad for the environment when they happen, so it couldn't be more counterproductive. You know, that's a big part of it. Another part, of course, is holding utilities like PG&E accountable. They've gotten a free pass at our Capitol because of their political influence for far too long. But, you know, there's no doubt that this is one of the central ways in which our state government has absolutely failed the people of California. I talk about what we need to do is get back to basics, you know, manage our forests, pave our roads, store our water, maintain our grid, fund our police, do the things government is supposed to do them well, and do nothing else.
You know, it used to be, it used to be that the government would take care of the roads. It would take, you know, it would make sure you could drive on roads that were safe. You know, it would do things like an infrastructure. It would have a National Guard and those things. We've become, you know, the government just keeps reaching out every year, keeps passing. What, 1,000 or more bills a year run through the California legislature?
Yeah, that's usually how many, you know, actually end up passing. So there's a few thousand or so introduced every year. And yeah, there's just a ton of legislation that is, you know, ushered, shepherded through by powerful special interest groups in order to serve their agenda, in order to line their pockets. But often it's at cross purposes with what the general population wants and needs. And by the way, that is those 1,000 bills, that's just what comes out of the legislature. A lot of those bills then serve to as the basis for many more regulations churned out by these massive state agencies like CARB and the State Water Resources Control Board and many others. So that's actually, you know, an important point, because the governor can provide new leadership within the executive branch and try to start to roll a lot of these really burdensome regulations back right away.
The Democrats have a supermajority. Yet I read someplace that if you veto a bill, that the chances of them overriding that veto are not big. But how do you plan on working with the supermajority?
Right, so a veto can be overridden by 2/3 of the legislature, although it's been several decades since that actually happened. And, you know, while there is a supermajority, it's only, I believe, 60 members right now. I mean, I say only, but that doesn't leave a ton of you know, room for maneuver if you are going to try to line up the votes for a veto override. So mm-hmm. The veto would be a very powerful instrument in stopping bad legislation. But, you know, what I would do to answer your question is, as soon as I take office, the legislature will actually be adjourned for the year, but I'll summon a special session of the legislature and demand immediate action on the key challenges facing the state. Yes, a proper plan for managing our forests and preventing wildfires for the next fire season. Education reform to allow parents school choice, addressing rising crime rates and the homelessness crisis and the soaring cost of living. You know, the sort of things that have been causing our quality of life to deteriorate for a long time and that Gavin Newsom has made far worse. I would demand immediate action by the legislature. And if the legislature refused to act, I'd say, okay, we'll take the issue to voters again then in 2022. You can suffer the same fate as Gavin Newsom. I've worked with these legislators, for 5 years. I know what they respond to. And the one thing that they will respond to that will actually compel them to start governing in the public interest is political pressure. If we have a successful recall, that'll bring to bear political pressure like they have never seen. And so the imperative on the part of the governor will be to translate that, to leverage it in order to get real action, real reform on the part of the legislature right away.
You know, how long do we have you for? Do we have you for several more minutes, or do I have?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good, because I've got a bunch of questions here. That's always a big question, is how do you work with the supermajority? But what you said kind of, you know, it makes sense to me that if there is truly a recall, Newsom loses, you're elected, that it should be a wake-up call, I would hope, to the legislature that says people aren't happy here, and we've got to find a new way of doing things. There's an old saying, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. We're having a hell of a water problem in California. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we're having a water problem in California because we have a political problem in California. You know, it's well understood the way our climate works. You have these eminently predictable cycles of wetness and dryness. And so any competent state government would prepare accordingly to make sure that we have the capacity, the infrastructure, the storage to save water in years of surplus, in wet years, and then to have it to use in the dry years so that we don't have droughts. But instead, the state has utterly neglected storage. We haven't expanded our capacity since the California Water Project in the 1960s. And so then we have these, conditions of scarcity that come along. And what does the state do? You know, it rations water for indoor use. It leaves, our farmers in dire need when this doesn't have to happen. And so I have introduced I'm introducing an assembly constitutional amendment that would allocate a fixed portion of the general fund every year to needed water storage projects, to the ones that, you know, there's low-hanging fruit here. We could increase the capacity of existing reservoirs and other storage sites like Shasta and San Luis. Temperance Flat and sites should have been had much more progress made by this point. And then, you know, we can look to other options like recycling and desalination where that makes sense, and taking all of the above approach, And if we did that, we would have an abundant water supply. We would not be experiencing these conditions of drought and scarcity periodically.
We're here with Kevin Kiley, candidate for governor. And the, of course, the recall had more than enough signatures to put this on the ballot. Gavin Newsom, and this is just my opinion, has been an abysmal failure for a variety of reasons. And I think, you know, that everybody, even the Democrats I know, you say Gavin Newsom, they roll their eyes. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with Kevin Kiley. This portion of our show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial, two different organizations under the Maxwell Insurance and Financial roof, and their financial side is one that is also out there and been helping people since 1993. If you want a second opinion on that retirement plan or that 401, give Judy or one of her highly trained professionals a phone call at 221-0441 for a free review and evaluation. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back with Kevin Kiley. 69 degrees out there on the 3rd of August, 7:45 in the morning.
Join the Cult 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series every Thursday night starting at 8 p.m. at Tiger Field. Through the end of August, enjoy live music with a different band each week. Find the lineup of performers online at ReadingCult45s.com. Tickets are only $5. Come enjoy food, beverages, and dancing at the Cult 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series at Tiger Field at 1000 West Cypress Avenue. See you there!
Californians can make history this summer, first by recalling Gavin Newsom, and on the same ballot electing a conservative leader with a proven record, Ted Gaines.
Hi, this is Ted Gaines. As a state lawmaker, I fought the tax and spend liberals at the Capitol. As an independent business owner, I fight big insurance companies on behalf of small businesses. On California's tax board, I fight to uphold Prop 13 and protect homeowners and taxpayers. I'm running for governor because we can rescue our state from Newsom's failed agenda. As your governor, I'll slash the gas tax and keep cost of living in check. I'll stop liberal plans to defund the police, and I will veto any bill that raises taxes, period. You deserve a governor who can transform California into a safe and affordable place to raise a family. I'm Ted Gaines. That's my pledge to you. Please vote yes on the recall and vote Ted Gaines for governor.
Visit TedGaines.com. Paid for by Gaines for Governor 2021.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, is having a summer clearance sale. Save big on some of the highest quality safes around. High Noble Safe Company carries High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few, and features gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Delivery, moving, and repair service available. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Okay, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. On the line is Kevin Kiley. And Kevin, I think a lot of people said that. I don't know if you heard the opening.
I caught a bit of it.
Yeah, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it any longer.
That's right, yeah. No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's what the recall is. You know, it's the people of California taking matters into their own hands and saying enough is enough.
Yeah. Hey, okay, I'm getting all types of questions rolling in here from our chat room, too. One of them is, what is your stance on the Second Amendment, CCWs, et cetera?
Well, I've got a perfect rating from all of the great Second Amendment advocacy groups in California, and what's been happening in our legislature for a long time, and with Gavin Newsom in the last couple of years, you know, leading the charge, is absolutely an affront to the rights of law-abiding California citizens, and I'd seek in every way I could to to protect the rights of law-abiding gun owners in California, and to protect the rest of our constitutional rights as well, because, you know, our state routinely passes laws that immediately or soon thereafter get struck down by the courts.
You know, the there's just so many questions here that we've, you know, that a lot of us believe the state's failing on. And you brought up public safety, the homeless. One of the things that Gavin Newsom said he was going to build so many 100,000 homes a year, blah, 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 was all just nothing but talk. The housing market is going crazy, as you know. What can the governor do to get more houses built, more homes built for those, you know, for the middle-income people or the young people starting out?
Yeah, great question, because, you know, that is maybe the number one cause of this mass exodus we're seeing from California, which just reached a tipping point this last year. For the first time in California's 170-year history, our population actually declined. It declined by 182,000 people, and the cost of housing is perhaps the number one reason, and the problem has only gotten worse under Gavin Newsom as building has gone down, you know, in terms of new permits issued. He promised, you know, all of these new units, and he's only delivered about a fifth of what he promised during his campaign. And, you know, the core problem is that there is simply not enough supply, and that is because we make it so difficult to build worthy projects in California. You know, it costs tens of thousands of dollars, many tens of thousands of dollars or more to go through all of the steps before building, before you've laid a single brick or before you've even broken ground. That makes these projects cost prohibitive. And then you get tied up in litigation for years or even decades under a law known, for example, as CEQA, which is, you know, supposedly about the environment, but is actually, you know, then used by all kinds of different interests simply to stop projects from getting off the ground. And so, you know, we need to make it a lot easier to build in California, to allow there to be, you know, more homes built, to allow more people access to the California dream. Because right now, you know, you're someone, you could get a good job right out of college, you could work hard, you could do everything right, and yet you're not able to afford a down payment on a house until your mid-40s. That's not the way things should be. It doesn't have to be the way things are, and that's one of the issues I would tackle right off the bat.
Okay. Well, obviously it's needed, you know, with so many things facing us. Okay, I've got about 8 minutes left, so I want to ask two questions. The COVID, Gavin Newsom's actions under COVID, how will yours be different?
Well, mine would be completely different in every way, because Gavin Newsom has imposed greater government control and restrictions than any governor in the entire country. California had the harshest lockdowns. We were 50th out of 50 in terms of what was allowed to be open. We had the longest school closures. We were 50th out of 50 in terms of getting kids back to the classroom. We were the last to open absolutely everything, you know, whether that's gyms or restaurants or museums or public events or youth sports. We're one of only two states in the country that kept a mask mandate in place, even after the CDC said there was no need to. And now, of course, you're seeing these mandates reimposed throughout the state. We're one of only a handful of states that has a statewide school mask order. And, you know, with all of these restrictions, what have we gotten in return? Actually, some of the poorest public health outcomes in the country as well, as we're among the bottom half, the worst half, in terms of COVID-related mortality. But when you look more importantly at overall mortality, which, you know, takes in suicides and drug abuse, and drug overdoses and delayed medical treatment and everything else, California has been one of the deadliest states. We've been sixth or fifth in the country in terms of our excess mortality rate. And so I would look to what other states have done that has worked much better, which is to, you know, place trust in citizens to make their own decisions. Everyone knows what COVID is. Everyone knows the risks. Everyone knows exactly how it spreads and how they can protect themselves. And so we should put trust in individual citizens to make their own decisions rather than having government make those decisions for them. And if we do that, I think things are going to work out a lot better as they have in other states.
You mean treating Californians like adults with minds?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I've got... like I said, there's a million things to ask about. But the big thing I want to talk about is you're going to be here in Redding.
Yes, and very excited. I will be in Reading tonight at Waterfront Park, and we're having a big rally at 7 o'clock along with James Gallagher at Rally in Town Hall, so you can come with your questions. And I think, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. We're hoping to have a big group there and to really rev up support for the recall as we get close to voting and as polls now show that the recall itself is a toss-up and that our campaign in particular has a lot of momentum.
The one last thing is, you know, we are rapidly taking away our alternatives in power. We're pushing the renewables so hard that it's going to, in my opinion, and others that I've read, it's going to have a severe impact on our society. What's your thoughts about this headlong rush to renewables?
Yeah, it's another way in which the state has just been completely wrongheaded in its approach, and it's had hugely negative impacts on our quality of life. It's led us to have, you know, the highest energy costs in the country, you know, twice as much as some other states. And what the state has done is it's imposed all of these incredibly, burdensome regulations and all of these requirements in terms of what percentage of our portfolio needs to be renewables, but it's also picked winners and losers. So, you know, some forms of renewable energy don't count, but, you know, solar certainly does. And so, you know, and then at the same time, we're also sort of impeding innovation for other technologies that could come along by saying, no, we're going to lock ourselves in to those that exist right now. And so, you know, California, again, in energy needs to take an all-of-the-above approach in order to have to maximize our available supply and the lower costs for people in California. And just to give you that address one more time, by the way, for the rally tonight, it's Riverfront Park. And it's 800 Sundial Bridge Drive.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna go back on that one because you're down at the Sundial Bridge there in the amphitheater. I don't want people to end up at Waterworks Park wearing their bathing suits.
Right.
Hey, the hydroelectric energy is not considered renewable. You know, it's just a hodgepodge of these things that is going to have a severe impact on us. I've got like 3 minutes left. It's all yours, Kevin.
Well, yeah, that's exactly, you know, that's exactly right. Why is that, you know, not considered part of the portfolio of renewables that you're allowed to build? It just doesn't make any sense. And it shows you that, you know, when our state's leaders talk about being environmentally friendly and clean energy and climate change, you know, it's a farce because they're not actually, you know, promoting many forms of energy that would serve those goals just as well, if not better. And, you know, it's of a piece with our entire, you know, the way our entire political system, our state government is just completely broken. I've seen that firsthand in my time at the state capitol. You know, that we have a state government that is absolutely broken. And I see this recall as our opportunity to fix it, to send a message to California's corrupt political class that enough is enough and to restore power to the people of California. What I say is, you know, I think the most important job of our next governor is to make it less important who the governor is by restoring power to local communities and their citizens. The state government needs to get out of our lives in a lot of ways and trust local communities and citizens to make their own decisions because they're perfectly capable of making them for themselves. And that's what our country was about from the beginning, the idea of self-government. I really view, you know, this recall as an opportunity to turn the page on our state's longstanding failures and on this dark era of government control that we've all been living through by lighting a new spark of liberty and self-government and returning to the foundational principles of our Constitution. So if that's, you know, something that you think you can, you know, embrace, and if you think that's the direction we ought to head as a state, I'd encourage you to come to our rally tonight to check it out at 7 o'clock on the Sundial Bridge, and would love for you to support our campaign. You can check out my website. It's KylieForCalifornia.com. I'm Kevin Kylie, and Kylie is my last name, K-I-L-E-Y, KylieForCalifornia.com.
Okay, and again, tonight at 7 o'clock at Sundial Bridge, you get a chance to meet Kevin Kiley and ask him questions face-to-face because I'm sure everybody's got more. We didn't even touch on the immigrant or the illegal immigrant surge, the paying of money, or any of those things. But I'm sure before this thing comes next November, you'll be back on and we can talk about some more of these things. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
You bet. You take care. Okay, Kevin Kiley tonight, 7 o'clock at the Sundial Bridge and in the amphitheater there. Listen to what he, you know, feel free to go there, ask him questions. You know, like I said, I couldn't get to all of them here. Hey, when we come back, Dr. Doug Craig's going to join me. Climate change. We're going to discuss that. We each have our own ideas about not just climate change, but how we combat it and what's going to happen to us if the Green New Deal goes through. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The Pentagon is on lockdown. The step comes after multiple gunshots were fired near a platform by the facility's metro station. It is a first for a major American city. New York City will soon require proof of COVID-19 vaccinations for anyone who wants to dine indoors at a restaurant, see a performance, or go to the gym. This amid a summer surge of COVID-19 cases around the country.
New cases per day in the U.S. have increased sixfold over the past month to an average of nearly 80,000, a level not seen since February. And deaths per day have climbed over the past 2 weeks from an average of 259 to 360, forcing the reinstatement of mask mandates in businesses like some McDonald's and Home Depot. Medical experts still say the vaccinated are far more protected. And yesterday, the U.S. finally reached President Biden's goal of getting at least one COVID shot in the arms of 70% of American adults, a month later than his goal. I'm Julie Walker.
And the White House is urging state and local governments to quickly adopt policies aimed at protecting tenants from eviction.
President Biden is facing stiff criticism from many Democrats who say he was slow to address the end of the federal eviction moratorium. It expired over the weekend. In response, the White House is leaning on states and cities to help keep renters in place. Biden officials are also pointing a finger of blame at state officials for failing to get approved aid to those in need. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Simone Biles returned to competition at the Tokyo Olympics today, and she won a bronze medal in the balance beam final. The U.S. now leading the medal count at the Games, just ahead of China. Wall Street stocks mixed. The Dow up 44 points, the Nasdaq 51 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let's be boring and do a commercial about cash out refinances. It's Ryan, and our mortgage team will often have a listener say, I think I understand what a cash out refinance is, but can't that be bad for you sometimes? So let's hit on that. As with anything, it's certainly not the right move for everyone. If we don't have to, we don't want to add a bunch of years onto our loan or increase our monthly payment too much or pay more in the long run. But because home values have skyrocketed so far up the last few years, while rates have come so far down, we've seen many scenarios where listeners today can pull out a significant chunk of money from the new value in their home while lowering the years on the overall loan, while lowering their monthly payment, and lowering how much they ultimately pay. The key is to just look at the whole picture and be honest with yourself about your situation. If you're looking for someone to show you your options, we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Meadow Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
A scathing report on last year's devastating explosion at the port in Beirut.
An investigation into this disaster by the campaign group Human Rights Watch has delivered an indictment of multiple Lebanese agencies and officials. They failed to address the great danger posed by the shipment of highly explosive ammonium nitrate stored in the port. The rights activists say Lebanon's president and its prime minister were warned, but they did nothing. Efforts by Lebanese judges to investigate the blast have got nowhere. A year on, no one has been held to account.
And that's the BBC's Alan Johnston.
The South Korean spy agency says North Korea is now releasing emergency military rice reserves as its food shortage worsens. A heat wave and intense drought adding to the misery in North Korea. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Some of those who lost family members in the attack on Pearl Harbor have issued an appeal to the Pentagon.
Those families are concerned the U.S. military doesn't plan to take advantage of advances in DNA technology to identify unknowns from the battleship USS Arizona. 85 individuals from the Arizona were buried as unknowns in a Honolulu cemetery after the war. Family members say the military should disinter those remains and try to determine their identities. The Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency disinterred 388 USS Oklahoma unknowns from the Honolulu Cemetery 6 years ago. So far, it's identified 88% of them. John Scott reporting.
And recapping the hour's lead story, the Pentagon has been locked down after multiple gunshots were fired, happened near a platform by the facility's Metro Light Rail station. Townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot here. 8:05 in the morning on the 3rd of August. And the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop into our chat room. Be civil with each other. Jared is sit there. He just, with his delete button and delete and ban button, ready to rock. And he's feeling a little peckish today, so watch out. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
And what's the weather look like?
It's currently 70 degrees. Today we're going to see a high of 103, a low of 65. Tomorrow, a high of 103, a low of 62. On Thursday, a high of 94, a low of 63. And on Friday, a high of 100 with a low of 67.
Okay. And Thursday, did you say?
I didn't say what day it was.
No.
Oh, wait. Sorry. I thought you were going to
Thursday, it's under 100, though.
Oh, Thursday, yeah. Good for you.
Ooh.
Because you're going out to the meadow or the evening on the green.
Evening on the green that night. Let's talk about that. Evening on the green, Thursday night, Country Western. Going to have eat at one of our local restaurants and then head on out there to Evening on the Green with Country Western. Look that up and see who the artist is. But I plan on dancing. So just be aware of that little dust cloud that you see out there. That's going to be me two-stepping. Not line dancing. No, never. But two-stepping, I do. Of course, my two-stepping becomes three-stepping, sometimes four-stepping, and then back two-stepping. You know what? I just have a good time out there. So that's going to be Thursday at Tiger Field. Starts starts at 8 o'clock. Look that up for me, and we'll get it at one of the breaks. I'm here with Dr. Doug Craig on it's not the inaugural one, but this is the day we're going to do it every month, the first Tuesday of each month. We're going to take a subject and we're going to discuss it, not necessarily in agreement, but to express different aspects of whatever that question is. Last time it was the critical race theory and that's facing our nation. And, this time, it was his choice, and it's going to be climate change.
Yes. Thanks, Carl. I call it the climate crisis.
The climate crisis. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. And you know what? And you're the guest. Well, not really. Not anymore. Now we're just kind of co-partners on this one.
Okay.
But we'll let you start.
I'm happy to be here again. And as I said last time, my day job is a clinical psychologist. I've been in private practice for about 35 years here in Reading, and I bring that orientation to most things I do, try to understand human behavior, the way the brain works, and why we do what we do. And I've been a concerned person about the climate crisis for I don't know, 17 years. And Carl, you and I used to write for the Record Searchlight online. I think yours was Under the Helmet. Wasn't that your blog?
Yeah. You know what it was?
Yeah.
You know, I totally forgot. Thank you.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I did that. I mean, I had mine and you had yours.
That's when they, and we would, and then you had, I think it was Mark Beecham was in there.
Mark Beecham was there.
Mark was always the leader when it came to reader hits. But, we used to get a few thousand in there.
Yeah. Mine was called Climate of Change. And, and I think I put out like 2,200 blogs in 9 years. And
that's right.
And,
I was talking about veterans events, things that were affecting veterans, all of those.
Then
the Record Searchlight.
Yeah, Record Searchlight.
Cut us off.
Yeah.
They cut everybody off.
Just gone.
Just like that. Yeah. Well, you know what? Hey.
It happens.
It happens.
It was a fun ride.
Yeah, you know, we got fired out of the last radio station, so we started our own.
Yeah, there
you go. That's the way to keep from being fired, but I really have to watch my P's and Q's with Linda. Why don't you just pack a box with all your stuff and leave?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, son.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let me say this.
Okay.
Let me say this. So I've been studying this issue, as I say, since 2004, 2006. I went before the Reading City Council and asked them to sign the Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement. They declined to do that. We now find ourselves in 2021 and all the things that myself and, of course, climate scientists have been predicting is now true. Last year was tied 2016 for the hottest year ever, according to NASA, the 7 hottest years on the planet since humans began recording temperature have happened in the last 7 years. 19 of the hottest years ever occurred in the last 20 years. Every decade is hotter than the year before. And we're seeing huge impacts of rising temperatures across the planet with melting glaciers, rising seas, more wildfires, more extreme weather events. And every ecosystem on the planet is on the verge of collapse. So it's a bad news story. The good news story is if we take it seriously and immediately begin to reduce our fossil fuels about 7% a year, cutting back to 50% by the end of this decade and zeroing out by the mid-century, we'll be okay. We can pretty much halt things where they are. They're bad now, but it could get worse. We can arrest it.
And I think therein lies where the arguments are. Are we getting warmer? I've got studies here that says that 31,000 climate scientists. Let me get that back. There's a gathering. Advocates also point to the fact that a recent gathering of 31,000 scientists in the field of environmental science couldn't reach a consensus on whether or not global warming is real. They believe they don't have long-term historical climate data, or the data they have isn't clear. Isn't a lot of this based on theory?
No.
No,
No. Everything humans know is based on science, and everything in science is based on published research. So I don't have access to what you're referring to. If it has Oregon something in it, there is a, I don't know what that is, what you're looking at, but if you just look at published science papers, thousands and thousands and thousands going back to 1990, 97% of the published literature that refers to global warming or climate change agrees that it's real, it's caused by humans, and it's devastating. It's already happening. There's no doubt.
This comes from Conservative Energy Future, which kind of is, to me, they had both arguments on it. Is it real or isn't it real? And they're pointing out from both sides things that that you've mentioned, but on the other side about these, the fact that Arctic ice increased, was that changed now? Maybe this is older.
It's old stuff. Yeah. The Arctic
Has not increased.
Oh no, the last 5 years have been the lowest 5 years ever. 2016 or 2020 tied with 2016. It's decreasing about 13% a decade. It is one of the critical tipping points in the climate system. The Amazon, which has been a carbon sink for people that don't know what that means, it means it absorbs carbon dioxide. Well, in the last 10 years, it's become a carbon emitter. That's huge.
The fact that the climate is changing, are you saying it's all because of mankind? Or is it just because that our Earth goes through cyclic changes, like the jet stream? Is the jet stream affected by mankind?
Well,
because that's what causes things like, you know, the jet stream comes in, it holds the heat in, or it moves it out, those kind of things. And the jet stream, though, is, I've never heard anybody say that climate change affects that, but maybe it's because I haven't read that.
Yeah, it definitely affects the jet stream. So the way
In what ways?
Well, the way that works is as you have the massive melting, you know, just one day last week, Greenland, enough ice melted to cover Florida in 2 inches of water, the whole state of Florida, in one day. So as that fresh water melts off of the Arctic and Greenland, it affects that that conveyor belt that goes from the northern latitudes to the southern latitudes. If that gets if the salt the saltiness of it decreases, it could collapse. And if that happens, then it's a massive
the difference between, you know, people, difference between freshwater melting into salt water, and about displacement theories on that, that the freshwater displaces more than salt water.
Well,
in other words, if the glacier's out there, it displaces so much water, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if it falls into the water, does it displace more than it was taken beforehand?
Well, if the ice is on land, then yeah, it causes sea level rise.
Right.
If it's like an ice cube in a glass, it isn't going to make it rise. So the ice, you know, like in the Arctic where it's just in the water,
yeah,
that's not causing sea level rise. It's the ice that's on land that's melting into,
okay,
like the Antarctica and Greenland.
Okay, we have to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance. We had Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang on the other day. They are not neophytes when it comes to helping you recover from an injury or operation. What if you're having problems with your knees? Well, that was my question. And they said there are a series of exercises to strengthen the muscles around various joints in your body that helps take care of, you know, aches and pains, or to actually cure, not cure, but to rehab that area that's been injured. That's Pro Rehab Physical Therapy in the Sunset Shopping Center. And their address is 3673, or you can give them a call at 530-533-5030. That's 533-5030 today. We'll be right back with Dr. Doug Craig.
Takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Dinorama presents Bruised by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, August 13th. Join us at the Sundell Bridge for this 21 and over event featuring craft beers, live music, tasty food, and more. Get your tickets today at the Turtle Bay Museum or online at turtlebay.org.
The heat is on.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Divide. Linda's on assignment today, 8:21 in the morning, 70 degrees going up to 103 today here on the 3rd of August. And thinking about purchasing an electric car, you know, climate change and all that, well, Redding Electric Utility has rebates still available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofredding.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. Now, I'm here with Dr. Doug Craig, who has been studying climate change.
Right. Yes.
Since the early 70s.
No.
I was going to say, you're not that old.
No. I really got interested in 2004.
Okay, 2004. Yeah. When you said you brought a proclamation to the city.
Yeah.
And what was that called?
I didn't bring it, but, well, I you're right. I went before them and talked about something called the Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement.
Okay. What was in that?
It was just a basic statement that, hey, climate change is real and let's do what we can. It was based on, back then, something called the Kyoto Protocol. It was before the Paris Climate Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a way that cities, mayors of cities could say, hey, we're on board, we're joining with the rest of humanity to try to preserve the future for our children and grandchildren. And so, yeah, there were thousands of mayors throughout America that signed on to that. And
didn't sign on here, though, right?
Our mayor, Ken Murray, declined. but he's a good guy, and I had him on my show here.
Yeah,
I had him on my show a couple times here when I was had my own show, and so he's a good guy. I like him.
Did you drive that truck today?
I drove my truck because my electric car is plugged in today.
Okay,
I'm burning fossil fuels.
Trust me, we're going to be getting into that later on. But that looks like a real emitter there of carbon.
It's a real emitter. Yeah, it's from that's a 1994 truck. It survived the car fire.
Whoa.
My house burned down, but my truck survived. It sat in the driveway, and it started right up.
But your electric car didn't?
Well, I didn't have that electric car then. No,
I'm talking about now. You didn't start this morning?
I have a slow charger, so it takes about 28 hours to charge up my
I saw a photo the other day of a place here in the United States. It was a 2.5 hour wait for the electric cars to be recharged.
That's a problem.
We're going to get into that later, but let's go back to this. We're talking about climate models, and, you know, it's hard to predict the weather for next week.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's based on modeling.
Right.
How could we there's so many ifs and changes in our environment. How can you say positively it's going to be like this in 30 years since things changed so dramatically during that time frame?
Yeah, what the models do is they first try to predict the past. So if they create a model and then run the program and it actually is consistent with what has happened in the past, it gives them confidence that it will be true in the future. And they've been doing this since the 70s or 80s. They're crude models, and they're mostly accurate.
But are they based on, say, 100 years ago, the weather as listed? Or what models do they use? In other words, we didn't keep track of the weather even 50 or 60 years ago as well as we do now. Are you basing it on the information from people back then? I've read that you do it other ways.
They have really accurate records of all kinds of weather events in England going back centuries, because the English people are obsessed with keeping track of all kinds of things. But yeah, in terms of global temperature, we're talking about 1880 to now that we've had accurate records. But they also have, scientists are brilliant people, and they have ways of doing core ice samples going back 800,000 years. They have very accurate.
Warm 800,000 years ago?
It's fluctuated. So here's a good metaphor for you. So we are right now at about 420 parts per million CO2.
Okay.
And as of May, okay, every May is the high point of the year, and then it declines after that, and then it goes back up into May of next year. Anyway, 420. Now, let's use the city of Anderson and imagine the 10,000 citizens in Anderson are a metaphor for 10,000 molecules in our atmosphere. When there's only two people in Anderson who represent carbon molecules, we have an ice age. When it's three molecules, we have the long summer that we've had for the last 10 to 12,000 years. When it's four, we have what we have now, which is, you know, extreme floods and droughts and extreme weather events. So very subtle changes, you know, from 2 to 3 to 4 parts per 10,000 makes a huge difference on the climate. And we know that going back before the Civil War, when John Tyndall was the first one to prove that what he called carbonic acid or carbon dioxide was a trapper of heat. If we didn't have CO2 in the atmosphere, you and I wouldn't be here.
We need carbon dioxide
to trap just enough heat. But because we've been digging up carbon and putting it up there, the level of CO2 in the atmosphere is higher right now than it's been for about 4 million years. And back then, during the Pliocene climatic optimum era, sea level was 78 feet higher, and temperature was 7 degrees hotter. So we're facing a major crisis that we have to take seriously.
I'm going to take a photo of Doug and all of his material he's got laid out here. And then I'm going to show you my 8x7 notebook that I'm using on this. We're here with Doug Craig, Dr. Douglas Craig. I can point how things have been said in the past that didn't come true, even to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, predicting that we're like the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Now, she is not a scientist, and I'm not sure if she got that, where she gets her information
from. I can explain that.
Okay, well, we've got time.
Okay, well, let's talk about the carbon budget. So the climate scientists of the world have been looking very seriously at the relationship between our CO2 emissions and other greenhouse gases and temperature. And we've warmed up about 1.2 degrees, maybe 1.3 degrees Celsius in the era of human-caused climate change. And they've set the limit at 1.5. So we've only got 2.2 or 0.3 degrees to go before we hit the 1.5. And so they've calculated how much CO2 can we emit before we hit, you know, past that budget. So realize that in this hour that you and I are talking, humanity will emit about 5 million tons of CO2 just this hour.
How much does a forest fire emit?
I don't know that right now.
But that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. That's called amplification or positive feedback loop. So global warming sets us up to have more wildfires. And yeah,
when they burn, it releases the carbon dioxide. What about a volcano like they had? I think it was in Greenland or Iceland that shut down the airlines because of the ash in the air.
Right.
I mean, that also has an impact on the climate.
Absolutely, yeah. Pinatubo, I think it went off in 92. And if you go back, you'll see that
there's been one in the last, I know,
12
years.
I'm not saying there aren't others. Okay. There's lots of volcanoes.
Oh, yeah,
I'm just saying there's a specific big one
in
92 that actually led to some global cooling for a year or two. So you get all those aerosols in the atmosphere does obscure sunlight and it obscures the heat for a short time. But then that stuff washes out of the system and we're back where we were before.
I'm here with Dr. Douglas Craig, and when we come back after this break, we want to talk about, okay, so what can we do to offset this that Dr. Craig holds as being human? Is it all based on humans? This climate change, all of it?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just humans. What about somebody said, and this is your favorite guy, Ken Murray, said, if we got rid of all the cows in the world, that would solve the problem because of their flatulence.
Well, you know, there's some methane that comes out of cows for
sure. There's a lot of methane if you've been around them, and horses.
Yeah.
But he said if you just eliminated all the cows, that would solve the problem.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's not true.
No way. No. Not true. In fact, there are 5% of all the power plants on the planet right now. There are 5% of them. This is a brand new study. Is responsible for 73% of emissions from that.
How many
spectrum.
Of those are in the United States?
There's some, not a lot.
Well,
there's
I mean, I'm thinking is that
I'm talking about the least efficient system.
Well, I understand, that we've made huge strides in this, that we've cut back on emissions so much.
We are way better than China.
We're way better than most any place in the world.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree with that.
So good.
Yeah.
So now we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk about this some more, about the impact of trying to fix this. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans, have been with us since, gosh, over in the other station when I had Free Fire Radio over there at a station that will remain unnamed. Tim and Logan are some of the best barbers in town. They're barbers. They're not hairstylists. They're barbers. You want your hair cut, not styled. Their idea of styling is using butch wax on a flat top. But they can cut all hair. They work in appointments only. Give them a call at 244-9478. Man's Last Stronghold, the only place that I've gotten my hair cut in 14 years. You know what? I guess I'm kind of like that. I find something that I like, and I just kind of like stick with it. We'll be right back.
Your friendly oil change, Premier, and all we do. Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spin at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Are you looking for a new career opportunity? Well, look no further. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place for you. If you'd like a fun and exciting team atmosphere, then check out the opportunities at Wind River Resort and Casino. We offer competitive wages, but also extensive benefit packages. Where else can you receive 15 paid holidays, including your birthday, paid vacation and sick leave, health, dental, and vision benefits, and a 401k retirement plan with a 7% match? To see all open positions at Wind River Resort and Casino, visit careers at windriver.com. Benefits vary depending on job classification.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Welcome back to Pre-Fi Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot. 70 degrees out there, going up to 103 today, 37 in the morning here on the 3rd of August, August 3rd, 605-4567 is our phone number. The chat room is going amok, running amok in there, but be nice to each other, which so far you've kind of been. We've only had to delete several of the messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, Shasta Regional Medical Center is not just a place where you are safe, but they have are constantly on the cutting edge of technology with the TAVR valve replacement, where you no longer have to travel to Davis or hours away to have that valve replaced in such a way as they do not open your chest up. They run it through an artery. It goes up. It replaces that valve. You're up that afternoon, and you're walking home the next day. Another example of medical miracles, you might say, at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We had somebody on the line, but they hung up. But, Doug, you wanted to finish this thing you started on.
Yes, right. So you talked about AOC saying the world was going to end in 12 years. And what actually I believe she was referring to is something called the carbon budget, which as of early 2018, scientists tell us that we had 420 billion tons of CO2 left in our carbon budget that we could safely burn and not exceed 1.5 degrees Celsius. Which is, 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. So what we're talking about is we're now at 300 billion tons, and what she was referring to is maybe in the summer of 2028, if we keep burning 40 billion tons every year, we'll exhaust that. We will definitely be on our way well above 1.5. Most scientists now believe we're headed for 3 to 4 degrees warming Celsius, which is 5 to 7 degrees Fahrenheit. Before the end of the century, which would just be cataclysmic if we did that.
By 2200. By 2100.
Yeah, by the end of the century. So what we're talking about is
cataclysmic.
Well,
because
think of
what?
This. Think of all the real estate that is on the coast. When that's underwater, that's trillions of dollars that's going to hit the economy. Seawalls, in the next 10 to 20 years, you're going to see all nations trying to build seawalls. And the trouble with seawalls is if you build one around San Jose, it's going to make all that water go north or south, and it's going to flood those regions. Coral reefs are due to go extinct in the next 10 or 20 years. 25% of all sea life depends on coral reefs. A good 500 million people on the planet depend on that sea life. So you're going to see cascading effects, and none other than the Pentagon has listed climate change as a threat multiplier. Right up there, their biggest concerns are always China and Russia, but right behind that is the climate change crisis, because they believe it will tax them. And, you know, where they have thousands of facilities across the world, many of them on the coast. So the Pentagon is very, very worried about climate change.
And also white nationalism.
Yes.
I haven't heard them speaking of climate change lately, but I have heard white nationalism. That is interesting.
Yes.
Being in the military, having to be and teaching aspects of the critical race theory. Okay. Let's go here then. AOC is pushing the Green New Deal. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is. Absolutely.
Let's talk about the Green in 10 key points. Because, okay, the world is warming up for whatever reasons. You can say it's because of mankind and mankind only. The Green New Deal, rapid and total shift to renewable and zero carbon energy sources. 2, a smart grid to maximize efficiency and reliability in electricity transmission. 3, a new transportation system focused on high-speed rail and other technological advanced public transport options. Forest and grassland restoration to recapture CO2. Regulation of agriculture to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Guaranteed job leave, retirement, vacation, tougher workplace safety and anti-discrimination laws, fair wage guidelines. 6, resources and high-quality education for all, particularly vulnerable communities. 7, increased protection of trade unions. 8, enforce trade rules with stronger environmental and labor protection. 9, protections of rights and sovereignty of indigenous people. And 10, universal access to health care, housing, economic security, and clean air, food, and water. That's the
GND.
That's the Green New Deal.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly from things you've talked to me about today how number 5 through 10 impact on the environment. But let's just go back to what California's doing now. California is pushing us into totally renewable resources by 2030. Yet they're not counting hydroelectricity as being a renewable asset. They're not even looking to nuclear power as being a possible solution to what we're seeing. of the Green New Deal, how many of these actually are going to affect the climate?
Well, yes, you're right. I mean, that list is pretty broad. It covers many things besides the obvious climate-related issues. There is a recognition that inequality means that the climate impacts hit the poorer people and, you know, people of color more harshly than those with the resources to protect themselves somewhat. But I agree. I think there are other alternatives to the Green New Deal
that
we should look at.
And that's the other thing about the Green New Deal is there's these broad, as we call them, wave tops, but there's no specifics on how this is happening. Now, we have phone callers. Let's start with Jeff. Good morning. Good morning, Jeff. You're on the line. You're live. Hello, Jeff. Hello? Okay, let's go to Ed. Ed, good morning. You're on live. Hello, Ed.
Yeah, hello.
You're on.
Yes.
You're on live. What are your comments?
I'm trying to turn the volume off here. You didn't give me warning.
Okay.
Hey, Carl, you there?
We're here. You're live.
I have a question for Carl, actually.
Okay.
And it's on taxes. John Marshall, I think you'll agree, is a conservative, famously wrote, "The power to tax is the power to destroy."
Okay.
And I want the conservative position on this. Why in the heck, in the United States today, is our primary tax source working people, taking wages out of paychecks, when as an alternative we could be taxing pollution, the people using our atmosphere as their sewer? What's a conservative argument for keeping our present tax system?
I think our tax system, just for me, should be a single payer tax. That, you know, it's level across the way, because if we do have things that need to be paid for, we have infrastructure, and here's this $5 trillion deal that has nothing to do with it has a small percentage going to infrastructure. We need to protect our borders, which we're doing not a very good job of, and we have to maintain our safety. Three of the main things the government should be doing. So a single-payer tax system for me would be absolutely, you know, fine. You know, be a level tax system. As far as if you pollute, you should be taxed for that. And I think that they do have on that, and they've put in a lot of pressure in the United States to clean up areas. And I think we've done better over the last 20 years, Doug, am I wrong, about cleaning up our cleaning up factories, cleaning up those types of
polluters.
But Carl.
Yeah.
But Carl, what's happening now is not what you said. Well, it's not single payer.
No, it's not.
It's not any taxes on carbon or any other sort of, or very, with a few exceptions, any sort of pollution. All we need to do to switch to electric vehicles from gas cars is make people pay for the crap their tailpipes put in the atmosphere. You wouldn't, and that's the fundamental position I have, I think we should have, is we simply ought to make people pay for what they do. And there's no argument that when you burn a gallon of gas, you're putting 13,000 gallons of CO2 in the atmosphere, and Doug will tell you the results of that. So anyway,
okay, well,
I'll let you go now. But that's
okay.
I think the conservatives really have a hypocrisy.
No, not at all. Not at all. Thanks, Ed. Do we want to see our climate become untenable? No. But when you say let's switch to electric cars and you give a deadline, which is unattainable, because you want to talk about pollution. What about all the, you know, what it takes to build an electric car, the batteries and all this? You've got to take that into account too. And then where do you get the power from to recharge the car? It takes, Doug, 28 hours. Now, you could have the, I know we've gone way over the limit here, but you can have a, and so where's the electricity come to, you know, to recharge your car?
I have solar panels on my roof. So
okay, you have solar panels, but do you have batteries to back them up?
No, I don't.
So then you need power as soon as the sun goes down. Where's that power come from? Comes from natural gas right now, or it comes from hydro, or, you know, those things. If you do away with natural gas and hydro before it's, you know, and not count hydro as a renewable asset, you talk about the poor people and the people who are, you know, middle class people. Who do you think the gas taxes impact on most? There's been saying that, oh, the more electric vehicles we have, now we're going to charge. Now they're looking at programs in other states where we charge about how many miles you drive. Oh, that's fine if you live in the middle of L.A., but what if you live up here in Shasta County and you've got to go 50 miles to a pharmacist? See, all those things, you know, and so to say conservatives don't care about the environment is absolutely wrong.
I have a conservative solution.
And we're going to hit that as soon as we get back, right after the break. We'll be right back after these messages, but this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. You know, you've had enough of taking care of all those things that are going on, the cost of everything going up. So you're saying to yourself, you know what, I want to change my lifestyle. Well, River Commons Senior Living is a way to do that. It's not an assisted living facility. It's for active seniors. Gourmet chefs are there. It's the premier retirement community in Northern California, right downtown here on Hartnell Avenue, next to the VA. To see what River Commons can mean to you, arrange a personalized tour today. Give them a call at 238-5981. Ask Brian, hey, I'd like to come in and see the great accommodations. They are pet-friendly and more. River Commons Senior Living. Worry less, smile more. We'll be right back.
Californians can make history this summer, first by recalling Gavin Newsom, and on the same ballot electing a conservative leader with a proven record, Ted Gaines.
Hi, this is Ted Gaines. As a state lawmaker, I fought the tax and spend liberals at the Capitol. As an independent business owner, I fight big insurance companies on behalf of small businesses. On California's tax board, I fight to uphold Prop 13 and protect homeowners and taxpayers. I'm running for governor because we can rescue our state from Newsom's failed agenda. As your governor, I'll slash the gas tax and keep cost of living in check. I'll stop liberal plans to defund the police, and I will veto any bill that raises taxes, period. You deserve a governor who can transform California into a safe and affordable place to raise a family. I'm Ted Gaines. That's my pledge to you. Please vote yes on the recall and vote Ted Gaines for governor.
Visit TedGaines.com. Paid for by Gaines for Governor 2021.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or a four-year university, or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our fall semester will offer more in-person classes on campus and more in-person student services. We'll continue to offer many of our classes via our flexible online environment for added convenience and choice. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or a certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill many of the positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan your tomorrow today. Fall semester classes begin August 16th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Village. Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Doug Craig and I are here, Dr. Douglas Craig and I are here discussing climate change and what we can do. And the my whole argument on this is, if you accept the fact that it is getting warmer, okay, and for whatever reason, the impact of making changes and what it will do to our life. So, but Doug, you had some things to finish.
Sure, yeah. So my complaint about the Green New Deal is it does not contain carbon fee and dividend, which George Shultz and many other conservative economists have said has to be part of the – we have to put a price on carbon, basically what Ed was making his point. And they have this in Canada, and it's very successful. So right now 90% of the revenue of their carbon fee in dividend is returned to the consumer. That's how it works. You put a price on carbon, and then you return it to the consumer.
How do you return it?
A green check. Every month you get a check from the government. So it's very popular. The economists.
So I get taxed for driving a car.
You don't get taxed. But
that's what Ed wanted.
In Canada, most households are getting more in rebates than they're paying in higher energy prices. It works. The economy improves. People switch from carbon sources. We're relying less on dirty fuels and transitioning to clean fuels. And
I'm glad that works for the 102,000 people that live in Canada.
Well, just the Senate just passed the Growing Climate Solutions Act, 92-8. Talk about bipartisan.
Okay.
And this will help.
Again, we're not arguing. You know what? I'm not going to argue that the Earth's not getting warmer.
Right. But the solutions, though.
But the solutions can destroy, if you just go with these, can destroy our economy, hurt people of lower class, in middle class, can have a huge impact
carbon
on
them. Carbon fee and dividend will actually help low-income people.
Well, let's go to the phones. Jeff, you've been waiting, driving down I-5. I hope you are on a hands-free device.
Thank you. I just want to say this is a great conversation, a really wonderful topic, and I hope it can continue because it's very interesting and important. On the subject of change, I would like to participate, but change for me needs to be financially rational. And right now I find a lot of the regulations that are out there don't make it rational for me to participate at a higher level. How can we get change to be more rational? Like, give me an example.
You know what, Jeff? Thank you. You put everything I was saying into one sentence
there.
How do we, this change, make it, show me how it makes sense to people that make $50,000 a year or less?
With a certain change in regulation, if regulations would change, I believe you could show that. But there are regulatory roadblocks. How to remove them?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Be careful out there on the road. Hey, Jeff, what are you driving?
What am I driving? A Buick that gets terrible mileage. I also have an electric car, which I've driven for 4 years. I love it, but it won't go long range like I need today.
Okay. So, all right. Okay.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Okay.
Kathy?
And then let's go to Kathy. Kathy, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Kathy?
Hello, Kathy. Kathy? Okay. All right. Okay, the last thing I want to say on this is this. Changing our lifestyle, our nation is trying and has made huge steps forward when it comes to pollution and other aspects like electric cars. We don't have the infrastructure, so that has to be built too. But the idea of paying more for electricity every year because you're saying you have to come from renewable assets. Well, renewable assets right now are just solar and wind. And it doesn't make sense because the new Fountain Wind project up there, at its very height of its capacity, is only working at 30%. And the solar fields, which you could build everywhere, unless you put the batteries in your home, you still got to have power at night. And where does that power come from? And if you're not going to count hydro here in Shasta County in Northern California as a renewable, you're never going to win. You're never going to get to this. Last thoughts, Joe.
Last thoughts is there's a class people can take at Shasta College coming up in the fall in September. And if anyone's interested in learning more about the climate crisis, it'll be three Tuesday evenings starting on September 14th. The class is called Climate Change and Prepping. So I recommend anyone that wants to learn more to register for that those classes.
And you don't have to agree with it, but you know what? Knowledge, you know, what was it in Animal House? Knowledge is good.
Knowledge is good.
Knowledge is power.
No, well, no, but is that what it said? I thought it was knowledge is good.
It's knowledge
anyway,
is power.
People are calling me back, and we can't do that. Sorry. Sorry, you had your chance.
Carl, it's great. Thank you.
Next month.
Next month. We'll do it again.
Immigration.
Immigration, okay.
Yeah.
I just found out.
So yeah. Well,
I'll do my homework.
Well, you wanted climate change? I'm going for
yes,
immigration
it's
today.
It's your turn.
Yeah, my turn. And I can't wait to hear what you say about that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
We got a month.
Yeah.
Everybody, tomorrow we're going to have, on Wednesday, we'll have the chief of police or the Reading Police Department with us, along with a couple other people that will prove to be very interesting. And I want to remind everybody that Larry Elder, also a candidate for governor, will be our guest on Friday, along with Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and several questions about the new